Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Well, a new school year has begun and with it, parents may have questions and concerns about how this can be a positive year for their child. Carly Sharantino-Poulter is a Family Advocates Program Administrator for the ARC of Indiana, and she is here to talk with us about ways schools, teachers, parents, and students can work together to put students in the right path to achieve future goals. Hello, Miss Carly. Most students have been back to school for a little while now. And so tell me something that parents can do to try to make the school year to start well.
Sure. This is the perfect time to now sit down with those classroom teachers, those teachers of record, to start building that relationship.
Sure.
And start setting the tone for the new year. You know, things have finally, you know, settled down and students are now in a groove and teachers are now in a groove. You know, we've had that shakeout period. And so, you know, this is a great time to set up a meeting, find out how things are going, but also to share information and insights into your child. You know, share some tips. So, for example, if you've got a child who, you know, has a lot of difficulty with crowds, and you know that if they sit down first and if everybody fills in around them, they don't notice, that's something really important to share with the teacher, because that's going to make things smoother for the student, but also for the teacher and the rest of the classroom. So being able to share those tips is a good thing. But this is a good time to get that conversation started and get that communication going so that you can develop that relationship so that you're working together through the school year.
Yeah, let's expound on that relationship, because you want to be on the same page, because when the child comes into school with all of these different issues, you want to have parents or teachers and administrators on the same page. So how do you achieve that goal then?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that sometimes happen is that sometimes teachers and parents have different expectations. Sometimes they may be using the same words and have radically different meanings. And so one of the things that is important is to make sure that you are on the same page so that you're both working, you know, toward the same, I hesitate to use the word goals simply because when we're talking school, you think of IEP goals, and that's not what I mean.
Yep.
I mean those outcomes, those ideas of what we want to achieve. And this is actually a time where the life course design can actually be really beneficial. The life course design is a new philosophy and set of tools that the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities is using with all of their clients. And it has a very good core belief, which is that all people have the right to live, love, work, play, and pursue their life's aspirations in their communities.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, and notice I didn't say all people with disabilities.
Sure.
I said all people,
because that's inclusive.
That's just it. It is.
Yes.
It is. And you know, this is a philosophy and these are tools that anybody can use.
The life course framework was developed by Missouri Family to Family.
Families can go to their website, which is lifecoursetools.com, and start playing around. Start seeing what types of resources they have, what types of tools they have. There are videos to talk to you about all this. But they've got a lot of great resources to use. And these are great to help identify what constitutes a good life. What does that student view as a good life? What does that family view as a good life? And then how do we get there? And what's great is, you know, they have things broken down into different life stages. So for example, there is a section on early childhood. So if your child is in developmental preschool or is in those really younger grades, that's a great tool to use. We've got a school age, we've got transition to adulthood and then eventually aging, because our needs and our desires and our resources and skills change throughout our lives. And so these are a great set of tools because it can help you determine what strengths a student already has, what skills, what resources, what supports do they already have, and then what do they still need to get to that good life. One of the tools that I think is really beneficial to help everybody stay on the same page is something called the Life Trajectory, which is part of their life course portfolio.
Yeah.
And that's available on their website so that you can play around with that. But one of the things that I like about it is there's a section where you write, what is important to me? And when they say me, of course, they mean the self-advocate. Then there's a section on how best to support me. That's something every teacher needs to know. So that, you know, maybe that's when I'm upset, don't touch me. Maybe that's when I'm upset, let me go to the hallway for a couple of minutes just to regroup. Maybe that's I respond really well to music. So if you've got music playing, I'm going to do much better. Or maybe that can be an accommodation. But then what I also really love is they've got something called this life trajectory worksheet. And the idea behind that is you're identifying for right now, what does a good life look like? And then more importantly, what do I not want in my life? And so, you know, those can be very general, very broad, very big picture. I want to have a job. I want to live in the community. I want to get married. I want to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be very specific. I want to learn how to drive, you know. But then it has you talk about what life experiences have you already had that's going to help you achieve that goal? What types of things do we still need to work on so you can get to that goal? And if you can bring that to your school and let them see what you're thinking and where, you know, what lines you're thinking on, then that's going to help them get on the same page with where you're going so that you're not having a lot of miscommunication and you're not, hopefully you're trying to avoid difficulties in school.
Well, and I think what with all of those tools, you're really being well informed so you can absolutely make a decision, which helps me with my next question, because many parents are concerned about academics and social interaction, like absolutely you were talking about in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So what can parents do to try to help students who may be struggling academically or may need social supports? Sure. What type of resources are out there to help students, and how can parents find them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the first thing I would do is I would talk with both the classroom teacher and the teacher of record, mm-hmm, because a lot of school districts actually have school-based accounts for a lot of websites or apps or, you know, other types of resources so that students can work on different issues. So whether that's the school has an account with Spelling City, mm-hmm, so that, you know, those younger students can, you know, basically play games and work on spelling words at the same time while having fun. You know, a lot of schools already have that, and saying, hey, you know, Bobby's really struggling with his spelling. Is there something we can do? Well, yeah, let's start a Spelling City account for him so that he can be playing video games while not realizing that he's actually learning. But, you know, they have those things for spelling, for math. You know, when we're talking those older grades, you know, they've also got all sorts of websites and apps for, you know, deciphering Shakespeare.
You know, we all need some of those help, but we just don't know how to find them. And so, you know, talk to the teachers about what types of online resources they've already got.
Mm-hmm.
If your school has a technology coordinator, talk with them, because they may have some other things, some other assistive technology that might be appropriate for your student that maybe isn't available to all students. So for example, you know, they may have some response to intervention programs that they may be able to help set that student up with. They may have access to Play-Doh, which is an online course option, so that, you know, if a student may need some extra time or some extra help, or maybe just needs to take, you know, a different class, they may be able to do it
through a different method.
Sure.
So when it comes to, you know, when it comes to those academic things, absolutely talk with the teachers and the technology coordinators. And then when it comes to those social supports, it's kind of thinking a little bit more, you know, outside the box, but, you know, it's those after school clubs, you know, mm-hmm, and I know from experience, I have two boys myself, and we've been trying to talk about after school clubs, and getting them to tell me anything is nearly impossible.
They're boys.
Oh, they are.
They're boys.
Bless them. They are. But, you know, find out what after school clubs there are, because it's a great, yep, way to work on social skills. And even if you have, you know, like in my case, I have a son with autism. He might be interested in the board game club.
Yeah.
Or even if the school doesn't have something like that, check with your local library and with your local parks department, because oftentimes they might have something. where I live, our local library has a Pokemon club. But here's the thing. If you've got a child who is obsessive about Pokemon and needs to work on social skills, if he goes to the Pokemon club and gets totally obsessive while he's there, so is every other kid in the room. Nobody notices. But it's a great way to use something that they love.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
to work on something that's difficult, which is that social interaction. And that way, they are working on those social skills in a way that is more fun, in a way that doesn't feel as pressured, and hopefully making some friends along the way.
So those are some things that I would look into. We talked about the parks and the library, but also think about, you know, the
Boys and Girls Club, if your community has one, the YMCA, various church groups. A lot of times, they may host a lot of game nights or something along those lines. So check into what's in your community, and by all means, feel free to call the Arc of Indiana, and we'll see what we can find as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about earlier, too, the transition mm-hmm. to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And those students between the ages of 14 and 22, mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole different age in itself. But trying to help them find life after high school, which can be difficult. So talk about what should parents keep in mind when it comes to planning for transition.
One of the things that I suggest is, first of all, start having those conversations. And by all means, don't wait until they're 14.
Yeah.
You know, start having those conversations early.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that is one thing. But then I'm also going to go back to that life course design framework, because, again, that's a good way to start talking about strengths. They also have a tool called an integrated support star,
where you can look at strengths, you can look at community resources, you can look at what technology a person has access to, and things that are easy to overlook, but that can be a huge help. So for example, you know, in that technology section, a lot of people have smartphones nowadays.
Yes, we do.
So, exactly. And so that's something that's available to everybody. We overlook that calendar feature as a method of support. We all use that in our own lives. And so part of it is teaching our children with disabilities and our adults with disabilities to use some of those things that are just naturally available to everyone that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And we don't think of as a support.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it is. And so, you know, using some of these resources, in fact, there's actually a large section on employment. And then, of course, there's also a section specifically on transition to adulthood to help people think about the options, think about the opportunities, think about the little things
so that we can start making those plans.
And remember, first and foremost, that this is just a plan and it can always change. But one of the other really big things that I want them to take advantage of is something called pre-employment transition services, or pre-ETS. Pre-ETS, I believe, is now in 80% of the schools in Indiana.
That's a really good program.
It really is. And you know, it is something that is expanding. And so we have different schools or different programs that are in different levels of development, because pre-ETS isn't technically through the school system,
mm-hmm.
but it's done in partnership and in conjunction with school systems.
Yep.
And the reason I kind of draw that line is because since pre-ETS, which is actually a program through the Bureau of Rehabilitative Services, since it's not through the school system, they can do things in the evenings, they can do things on weekends, and more importantly, they can do things during break. So a lot of those pre-ETS programs have all sorts of different programs set up during the summer. And whether that's, you know, setting up an internship so that somebody can start exploring those careers, or whether it's, you know, having a seminar on self-advocacy, having a seminar on budgeting.
Yeah.
So that students start learning how to manage money.
Yeah.
Those are all things that you can take advantage of. And the big, well, to me, one of the best benefits of pre-ETS is that a lot of it is about discovery and exploration.
Yep.
So that it's not just a matter of, well, hey, Lozo's hiring, let's get you a job over there, even when you have no interest in that.
Yes.
It's, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is as important to figure out what you want to do as it is what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may get an internship and part of your job is cleaning things up. And you may very well discover you hate to clean. So that's probably not going to be the best job for you. But we've learned that in that exploration phase.
Yeah.
So, you know, pre-ets is something that is free. Yeah. So, you know, that's always something really good to take advantage of whenever you can.
But that's one of those programs that I would absolutely encourage families to start using. A student can start in a pre-ets program at the age of 14, and it can go, you know, throughout their high school career. It's for any student who is presumed eligible for VR services, and that's pretty expansive.
Yep.
So it's something that I would go ahead and I would talk with your school transition coordinator about that, or your teacher of record, because even though pre-ets isn't done through the school system or by the school system, a lot of schools tend to enter into agreements with local providers, and so they will connect you to the right people to get you into that program.
Okay, that's a good thing. Now, talk to me about the case conference and IEP process. What can parents do to help plan for their child's education and then into the future?
One of the things that I recommend is go into those meetings thinking about, you know, the big picture. Have a clear idea of what outcomes and what accomplishments you want to achieve, as opposed to, you know, kind of the specifics on how to do something. Because there are a lot of ways to get something done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you wind up, you know, focusing on, I want you to use this reading program instead of this reading program, it can wind up bogging everything down.
Sure.
But if you go in with the idea of, okay, I want my child to be reading at grade level, how are we going to get there? Then that frees up for more collaboration. You know, and if the school says, oh, well, we use this, and you say, you know what, we've tried that in the past, we've had no growth. Mm-hmm. So I understand it's a good program, it's just not a good program for him, so what can we do instead?
You know, and I know I keep coming back to it, but I'm going to keep coming back to Life Course.
Go ahead.
Because I think that, you know, when you have those life trajectories, you know, laid out, and you have some of this information to share, I think that helps you get on the same page.
Oh, it sure
does. So that you can work toward the same outcome.
Yes.
Life Course is still relatively new in Indiana, and so many people are not familiar with it yet. Mm-hmm. So you may bring this into the school, and they have never seen this. They have no idea what this is. But that's one of the things I like, is it is still fairly intuitive. So, you know, especially when we're talking that life trajectory, you know, first of all, everything is labeled. But, you know, it's easy to see, okay, this is the outcome that I want to get to. This is what I want to avoid. How do we get to what vision we have for a good life?
Sure.
And that's one of the nice things, too, is that the Life Course does...
It helps you not be a cookie cutter.
It does.
There's not one situation that fits every student in your classroom.
You're right. But it also braids in with that IEP.
Yeah.
Because part of that IEP is, what do the parents envision... You know, what is the parent's vision for the student?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what Life Course is. What is your vision for a good life, and how do we get there? So, you know, it's something that should be able to work together well. And when you have it in black and white, I think that that makes it a little bit easier to define. Because when you're just having a conversation, you can get derailed. You can wind up talking too much in generalities or being too vague. And when you have it in black and white, it makes it more concrete and it makes it something a little bit easier to follow.
Sure it does.
So when it comes to that case conference, you know, think about, what is your ultimate outcome? Because I'm trying to avoid using the word goal, because that just gets too confusing. You know, what do you ultimately want? And then be open about how to get there, as long as we're always focusing on that eventual outcome. Stay involved, stay on top of it. Make sure that you're reading those progress reports. If you're only supposed to get progress reports at the semester, you have every right to ask to get progress reports more often than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, you know, the ability to ask for, you know, meeting, you know, set meetings with the teacher, you know, every 6 weeks or whatever the situation may be, in part to help problem solve and to help avoid any misunderstandings or miscommunications. And when you can keep that communication open, things work a lot better.
Parents who are listening to this podcast will be so happy to have this information. Carly, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
You are so welcome. For more information on the ARC Advocacy Network and to always know that they are here to help, you can always go to our website, www.arcind.org, or call them at 317-977-2375 or email them at thearc@arcind.org. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.